For people that are unemployed, most of the time they look in the help wanted ads to seek employment. So if you have nothing to do this coming week, maybe you would like to respond to this advertisement that I saw. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness. Safe return? Doubtful. Honor and recognition in case of success. Does that appeal to anybody out here? Maybe that's a little over the top for most folks. That was an advertisement that was put in the London newspaper in 1912. And it received thousands of applicants. Thousands. Sir Ernest Shackleton. Anybody ever hear of him? You're good. Yeah, famous explorer. He was attempting to reach the South Pole. Nobody had reached it yet. Antarctica. He picked 27 men that applied. And he took off with 27 men and an extra stowaway they found later, 69 dogs, one cat. And they boarded the ship Endurance, which didn't return. But all 28 men did. Tremendous story. Read about it. It's awesome. I read the whole story online. It was amazing. So let's soften the advertisement a little bit, maybe something that you may want to apply for. How about this one? Men and women wanted for a difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack by an invisible enemy, and you may not see the results of your labor. Your full reward will not come till after your work is totally completed, and it just may cost you your home, your ambition, and maybe even your life. That would be the advertisement that Jesus Christ would have put in the paper when he was picking his disciples. Therefore, the title of this morning's message is Extreme Work Zone. But in spite of the demands that Jesus makes, he receives applications of many who gladly give their all for him. We're going to look at one such young man this morning. His name is Timothy. And so, Timothy responded to Jesus' call to help build his church. He was born of mixed parents. His mom was a Jewish. His father was a Greek. But Timothy was so devoted to Christ that the leaders in his church recommended him to Paul as one that he should pick. He was faithful to the Lord. He had a deep concern for all God's people. But in spite of his calling, in spite of his close association with the Apostle Paul, in spite of the spiritual gifts that were blessed upon him, like us, Timothy was easily discouraged. Because wherever there are spiritual opportunities, there are also satanic obstacles. Do not think that your walk with Christ is going to be any different. So Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him and to explain just how a local church should be managed. Open up your Bibles, 1 Timothy, and we can see how we can be encouraged. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through verse 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. The very first responsibility of any pastor and of all the congregation is to teach sound doctrine. There were teachers back in Paul's day that taught false doctrines, just as there are today people that teach false doctrines. And so the Christian worker, no matter how extreme the work zone, must stay on the job. Because of these false teachers, they are constantly out there trying to lead the followers of Christ astray. And these people that were giving Timothy such a problem, Paul tells Timothy, remind them that their pastor, he's talking about Timothy here, was put in that position by God. God put him there. He put him there through Paul, who received his authority by God. And Paul's apostleship, he tells them, came by commandment from Jesus Christ. Verse 1, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I, the apostle Paul, write to Timothy. God committed the truth to Paul. And Paul committed it to Timothy. And now it was Timothy's responsibility to pass it along. Kind of like the chain of command that's in a military system. Look at it this way. Paul was an apostle, not merely because he was called to be one. He was an apostle by divine commandment. Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work I have appointed them. And so, now you're saying, well, the Holy Spirit told them. Yeah, right. So just as the things of the Father are the Son's, so the things of the sons are the spirits, and therefore, think of the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, gave Paul this commandment. And then Paul, through the authority of Jesus Christ, gives Timothy his appointment. And he tells him, stay in Ephesus and make sure that the sound doctrine is taught. Now, if you look at the verse 4 that I read, Paul kind of identifies some of what was happening. And he says, fables and genealogies. Endless genealogies. It means they talked only to hear themselves talk. There was no answer to the question. They just kept asking questions. Foolish questions, stupid questions. That's like saying, gee, you think God can make a rock so big he can't pick it up? What's the point of that? Well, that's what Paul says. Never mind that, Timothy. Teach sound doctrine. And these false teachers were using that Old Testament law, especially the genealogies, to conjure up all kinds of new doctrines that were leading people away from the truth. And instead of producing love, purity, a good conscience, and sincere faith, these novel doctrines were causing confusion, division, hypocrisy. Paul goes on talking to Timothy, and he says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. The purpose of the law is the inward work on the heart, not an outward observance. And without that understanding, it's so easy to become a shallow legalist who's only concerned with outward appearances. If spending time in God's Word does not produce love from a pure heart and a good conscience or sincere faith, something's wrong. Legalists can twist God's word just enough so that instead of showing love, we're harsh and judgmental. Instead of having a good conscience, we always feel condemned, knowing that I can never measure up. I'm no good. And instead of having sincere faith, faith in Jesus Christ, we trust in our own ability to please God. The old nature. And a lot of texts say the flesh. I'll use the old nature, loves religious legalism because rules and regulations enable them to appear holy without really having to change their heart. And so we find the law cannot save a lost sinner. It is only when a sinner believes on Jesus Christ that he is freed from the curse of the law. And the righteous demands of the law are met. And they're met by the indwelling Holy Spirit in the believer when he yields his life to God. So when we know the divine purpose, or if you want to use, when we know the divine end, we get the divine light shining on everything that leads to that end. Charity or love. Love that is like God's love, not like fleshly love. That's the end to which we seek. We want to love like God loves. Love is higher than uniformity. It's higher than getting together just for the sake of getting together. The gospel remains the same. Throughout all ages, it doesn't change. We are to live Christ. And to live Christ is to live in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Because if we live Christ, we'll see Christ. Because love is the very image of God. We see it. We see it in the words and the deeds of Jesus Christ. We have seen it in his sufferings on the cross for us. It's not a selfish love. It's not a love that gives affection to receive affection. It's not a love without personal self-denial. Because it gives itself. And so the end of the commandment, what's the commandment? Love. Is worthy of the God who gives the commandment. And the commandment is love one another as I have loved you. And where does this love come from? Well, it springs forth out of a pure heart. The heart is the soil in which heavenly grace grows. The heart is the testing ground of what we like. It's not enough to do right things. We must enjoy right things. We must love right things. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the heart reveals the true person. Now we may be deceived by good actions. Because good actions do not make a good man. It is the good man that makes good actions. There's a difference. Saul was not a good man. He persecuted Christians. He imprisoned them. He killed them. But it was the grace of God that turned that persecutor into a preacher. And the murderer into a minister. And that's what Paul is talking about in the verses I don't read. Verse 13, when Paul says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So dramatic was the change in Paul's life that the Jerusalem church didn't believe it. And they thought it was a trick just for him to get inside the church and persecute more Christians. But Scripture says it was God that gave Paul his ministry. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't any other apostle. It was the Lord Jesus himself. And when we look at Paul, and we can look at others in history, we see very often that those who are so intensely wrong as lost sinners become intensely right as Christians. And God uses them to win souls. That was Paul's testimony to Timothy. Now, God not only entrusted the gospel to Paul, he enabled Paul to minister that gospel. When we obey God, and he calls us to serve him, and we say, "Yes, Lord, use me," God always supplies and enables us for the tasks that he has ahead for us. But Paul not only became a minister, he became an example. And that was part of God's plan. Verse 16, "For this reason," now the reason he's talking about is verse 13 and 14 that I just read, the Lord calling him and enabling him. "For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Paul is set up as an example for all the rest of the ages, for anyone who's going to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, to my knowledge, none of us had the same experience that Paul had on that Damascus road. A blinding light, fallen to the ground, hearing the Lord Jesus speak from heaven. But even so, Paul is a pattern. He's a type to all lost sinners. He was the chief of sinners, in his own words. This is a faithful saying, verse 15, "Worthy of all acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He is proof positive that the grace of God can change any sinner. The lesson in Timothy here is very clear. The lesson is, it is God who chooses whom he will for his ministry. It's also not going to be easy to serve God in a pagan world. But there's a truth that should give you assurance through difficult days. If you are God's servant, if you are called by the Spirit, if you're obeying his will, then you can stay with it through extreme work zones, and you can finish the job that the Lord has revealed to you. God has chose you. He chose you to be her husband. He chose you to play that piano. He chose you to take care of people that can't take care of themselves. He chose all of us to witness for Christ as we go about our daily task. And so I'm going to just close with verse 17 because it says it all. To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, for choosing us. Couples retreat, Friday, Saturday. Sing here, February 5, 6 o'clock.